Amen. I'm waiting. I was doing the right thing, sitting here waiting. When Earl was just saying that, how we get when we give, God gets to us so we can give some more. So the world, what the world calls that, if you're a church, is greed of a pastor. And they curse you for even thinking that you should receive any offerings in a church. But they're all right with corporations, and they call that philanthropy. Like, come on. It's ridiculous. It just hit me like that. When you are blessed to a point where you can sow into other people's lives, it brings something. There's something about being able to bless somebody. Amen. There's something about, it doesn't matter if it's you just take them out to a meal, or you get to pay a bill, or buy them groceries for a week or a month. A long time ago, when I was still home, we were young, and I hung out with this Christian kid, and not that we went to church, but at this particular point, we weren't going to church. And his parents, they owned a clowning business. They were literally clowns. And but they were blessed. They lived a blessed life. And one day they found out that we didn't have any groceries, and they went and they went and filled our fridge and our pantry, and they bought us all kinds of groceries. And they were able to do that because they were blessed of God. Yes. And I bet you if I could talk to them, I would find out, just because I know the truth of the word now, they were probably sowers. Yeah. They probably didn't hold back. They obviously, I mean, they sowed into a family who was who didn't have any food in the pantry. Yeah. You know, so they gave in abundance, and I'm sure they received in abundance, and they were just really cool people to be around. I thought that was a cool story, so there we go. Do you want to pray? You want me to pray? You want me to pray? Okay. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to bring the word forth with my helpmate. Lord God, I ask that you would bless it and anoint it, that it would change lives, that it would affect hearts, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. You want to say something first? You want me to start? You got it. So I titled this just so it, well, in writing, I titled it Surviving Offense. But surviving is not what Spirit Life Church does. No. We thrive. Yeah. So we're calling it Thriving Through Offense, because that's what we... that's what we do. We thrive in all situations because God gives us the power and the ability to do so as long as we'll trust his word. So if you would, give me just a second. I'm going to define for you a word, the offense, right? I did see a word, a definition of it, and it was said to be the trap. A trap. When you're a hunter and the offense is that trap that shuts down on an animal that you're going to eat later, hopefully, or hang on your wall, whichever you like. But the Webster's Dictionary says displeasure, anger, moderate anger, scandal, cause of stumbling, any transgression of law, divine or human, a crime, an act of wickedness or omission of duty, an injury, attack, assault, an impediment. And then we've all heard that the best offense, right, is a good defense, right? Amen. And so that's a lot of times when that's a different kind of offense we're talking about. That's a trying to move forward, right? But we know that the best thing against an offense is a very, very good defense. That way, the offender can't progressively proceed and score or cause you harm, right? So I'm going to start in Psalm 119. That's the long one. It goes forever. And it's verse 165, and I'm going to be in the Passion for the Scriptures for the most part that I have. I don't know what Heather has. I'm just going to see what God brings forth. Amen. And it says, there is such a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of the Word, and they will never be offended. There is such a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of your word, and they will never be offended. In my scriptures, the word there is, of course, capitalized. It's not up top, but we're talking about the word of God. When you love the word of God, you will not be offended. A lot of times we fail at this, right? Who's ever been offended? If you didn't raise your hand, you either weren't paying attention or you're lying. Never, I'm wrong. Pastor Ricky has never been offended.
I do have something to say to that.
What?
So in the scripture it says there is such a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of your word and they will never be offended, right? Well, when I was looking up offense, it's also an emotional reaction to an outer action. Oh, did you not hear me? Okay. Offense is an emotional reaction to an outer action. So you cannot be in peace and have great peace if you're emotionally reacting to offense.
Ooh. Keep your emotions in check? You should write that down. I'm just joking. Oh, good job. And so my next note is, sometimes offense comes from the ones you love, like your spouse. Mm-hmm. In fact, I put especially your spouse here.
He's not wrong. I do have a story. But, I'll let you...
but look, so offense usually, and if in Matthew 12, verses 43 and 45, if you pull that up, just... you could probably do it in the Passion, but NIV, and I'll read it from there. That's Matthew 12, 43 through 45. When a demon is cast out of a person, it roams around a dry region looking for a place to rest, but never finds it. Then it says, I'll return to the house I moved out of. And so it goes back only to find that the house is vacant, warm, and ready for it to move back in. So it goes looking for seven other demons, more evil than itself, and they all enter together and live there. Then the person's condition becomes worse than it was in the beginning. This describes what will also happen to people of this evil generation. Offense in any evil spirit, anything that it offense, whether offense, anger, strife, all these things come and they come in packs. Have you ever noticed that? If you're ever offended, it brings around resentment. That sounds something like, I can't believe they said that. It's just so easy for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or anger. I could just punch their stupid face, right? Because you're offended by them. Selfishness. And this actually opened my eyes. After all I've done for them. And a lot of this is like, be honest, it's those are the things like in your family. When your wife's mad at you, or your husband, whichever, those are the things that come up. Yeah. Like, you're mad because she didn't let you eat bread this week.
All week. I've been getting yelled at about people not being able to eat tortillas. Hold on. I do have to say, on that list, there are multiple things that you can choose from. Everybody picked biscuits and tortillas, and they posted it on Facebook. And it's all about how Heather won't let them eat tortillas. Look, I don't control you. If you want to eat a tortilla, eat a tortilla. You're just going to have to explain to me on Sunday why you did it.
Wow, she's not offended by that at all.
right? Here comes trap. The resentment. No.
But, and then what do? Like, so, oh, man, I made a deal with my wife way back in the old days, right? That if she would clean the laundry, I would gladly fold the laundry. That's, who said aw? Aw.
It didn't happen.
It doesn't work.
We've been together 23 years.
Either one of us cleans the laundry and it sits, or the other one cleans the laundry and it sits. And irons are necessary in our house. And it's one of those, neither of us wants to deal with putting laundry away. And it offends her greatly. But it offends me even more when she brings it up. And so here comes the thing, like the selfishness. Does she not know what I do in this household? Right?
It's never justified.
Offense is never justified. But we all will fall prey to it so easily. And we've got to get, as a church, we've got to get past that as a people. But if we're ever going to get outside of the daily toil, if we've got to stop allowing strife into our households. Because is it James 3:16? Do you have anything yet to say?
In a second.
Okay. So James 3:16. I have my tablet open. Why am I using that one? It doesn't make sense sometimes. James 3:16 says, and Pastor Ricky's taught on this quite a bit. The Passion is not a good translation because it doesn't use the right word. The Passion is actually a great translation, but for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So when we are constantly offended by our wife or our husband or our kids or our boss or whatever it is, by, dare I say, our pastors, there's strife. And wherever there's strife, there's every evil work and confusion. So if we're ever going to go beyond where we're at now, which I think Spirit Life Church is a moving. Amen. We're pushing forward. We're getting through some things. Amen. And we're getting to some things.
Amen.
But if we allow strife and offense to derail that, come on now. Because we didn't play the right song one day. Because Pastor Ricky didn't shake your hand one day.
Because Pastor Ricky didn't ask you to preach one day.
Because, did I, is he saying that about me?
He no, might be.
Oh, he met you?
No. I said he might be.
No, I'm not going
to. Oh. Just those things, right? Or if maybe he did ask you to preach one day. So,
why am I getting thrown under the bus? I'm going to start telling stories.
That's about you can tell stories. I'm not offended easily. But if we continue to allow strife, even the smallest amount of strife can derail where you're at in the blessing.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And then you're, not that you're starting all over, but you need to repent and get back in line so that we don't have that confusion, that strife, and every evil work. I don't want every evil work. Mm-hmm. I want to keep moving progressively, getting going. Doesn't that sound better?
Yes, it does. And I have something to add to that. Pastor Barb, one time we were talking about offense and strife and things like that. It's usually during Valentine's Day because for some reason, you know, Valentine's Day isn't the greatest holiday for me. I just don't care about it. But everybody seems to argue with each other. Like, it's supposed to be the holiday of love, and everybody's, like, offended about everything. You didn't get me the right present. You didn't get me a present. And things like that. And she said, you know, offense is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die from it.
Oh, amen.
And offense will bind you and blind you to the revelation and wisdom of God.
Amen. That's good.
It poisons you. And so when I was thinking about that and I was praying about it and it came to me about what Pastor Barb said. So I looked up the definition of poison. And it says it's something destructive or harmful. That is the definition of it. The verb, which means the action, is to injure or kill or to taint. It's also to corrupt. Poison corrupts your body, it corrupts your mind, it corrupts your blessing. It will inhibit the activity, course, or occurrence. Well, we're all expecting blessings from God. And as we were doing worship, you know, I was praying and I was thinking about it, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said something, if I can find my notes. Offense will hinder your praise and worship. Mm-hmm. How can he, and please don't get offended at this, because really it's also for me. How can we worship and praise the Lord if we come to him in a state of offense? Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, this is for believers, because those who don't know and don't read the Bible, they don't understand. But when you know the word and you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, there are certain things that you should know and you, God expects of you. When we do that, when we come before the altar or we're praising or we're worshiping, whether it's in your car or at home, and you do that, well, poison is corruption. You've tainted it. You have now tainted your worship before God. Mm-hmm. You've poisoned it. And essentially, you brought poison before God because you already knew. Now, when we get saved, we ask God to take all these things from us, and we lay it down before him. So why are we bringing it back? Why are we saying, please take this from me? And then we come up here, and we're angry at the very people he came to save in the first place. It's baffling. We ask him, I wrote it down, we ask him to make us new while hating or holding a grudge against the ones he came to save and deliver. So we're asking him, save me from this, deliver me from this, but all the while you're hating the children that are next to him. And in this, talking about offense, we were also going to talk about love. And so I wrote down the definition of love. The noun, what's the definition? Affection, attachment, devotedness, devotion, fondness. Well, Pastor Ricky lately has been talking about faith being in action. Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible is in action. It's not just stories that happened. It's lessons. It's things that we're supposed to delve into because we have questions and we need to know the answers to them and how do we get out of certain situations. Love is an action. It's appreciation. It's cherishing. It's prizing, treasuring, and valuing. Mm-hmm. You cannot value something that you hate.
Amen.
And so I was talking to Pastor Chelsea, and I was looking up the definition of it. And the opposite of that, so an antonym, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's the opposite, Ireland. It's the opposite of love. Actually, she could probably tell you what all those things are before I could. So love, as an example, is fatherly concern of God for humankind, brotherly concern for others, a person's adoration of God. That's what it says in the Webster's Dictionary. A person's adoration of God. So to have that in the opposite would be abomination, hate, hatred, loathing, rancor, and then the action to that is to disvalue something. So if offense, because all those things, being offended are all those things, it's you think things are abomination, you're hating on it, you're angry, you're bitter, you're resentful. So the opposite of that, how can you be in appreciation? How can you value God to the level of which we should? How can we come here and praise and worship God if all we're doing is calling all the things that he loves an abomination? Right. And we're so angry at it. And more often than not, we do tend to do that towards our spouse or our kids.
More often than not?
More often than not.
Wow.
I mean, because really, in reality, you don't care what other people say, but you do care what your family says. It will affect you the most. Yeah. So that's where you need to be guarded the most. Mm-hmm. I wrote, where is it? I have it here. Where'd it go?
I don't know that.
I'll find it.
I'll give you a second. So, The poison thing, that's perfect example, right? Poison, if you are poisoned, you have to be treated, mm-hmm. right? And usually if you're ill and you go to the doctor, they ask you for your symptom list, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how are you feeling? What does that feel like? And so the doctor, depending, some doctors treat, just say, okay, well, here's a magic pill. That'll take care of, you know, 97% of what you have there. Other doctors attack the symptoms individually, right? Mm-hmm. So that they can get rid of, to lessen the symptoms, and hopefully when all the symptoms are gone, then the illness will be gone, or at least out of the way enough. Well, God is not that kind of physician. And God does have that one pill, and the pill is love. If we will learn to love our brothers and sisters, our God, and if we'll learn to love our spouses, how we actually should love them, unconditionally, right? Not, well, she didn't cook me dinner tonight. Not, well, we didn't have time together. If we'll learn to love unconditionally, it will fix a lot of the offense. Because when, and so I'll tell on myself.
I'm very interested right now to see this.
So I did not value what Heather did on a daily, right? This was before she worked in the church. I was working all day and she was home all day. And I didn't value that, right? Even though I was crippled for a little while, and I spent time taking care of Ireland when she was just a baby, I never, like I said, valued what Heather brought to the table. So I would get mad when things weren't done according to my standard and what I expected to be done. Never mind the fact that I've not been home all day. I don't know what craziness the boys did. Boys can be real crazy. And I would, and girls too, absolutely. And I, yeah, right? So I would come home and immediately be in a bad mood, so much to a point where when Heather hadn't gotten something done, now she's warning me, not because she loves me and she wants me to know, but because, and this, she has said this, because she was afraid how I would act when I got home. Your wife, your husband, your children should never be afraid of how you'll act when you get home. Now, there is a healthy amount of fear in goofing up and dad coming home. I get that. I'm not saying let your kids walk all over you. There has to be consequences to misbehavior. But to have your wife call you and tell you that, hey, I didn't get the kitchen cleaned, right? Just so I would have time to murmur and complain about my wife and be offended about what she didn't do, not even taking into consideration what she did do. That's conditional love, and that is not God's love. And because it's not God's love, is it love at all? Right. You got to think God's love is the agape love is the only true love. Right. Everything else is family, sensualness, friends. Mm-hmm. I should love my family the way that God loves me. Yeah. It shouldn't matter. And we can say all we want, well, I love you the God kind of love, even though I get mad at you sometimes. But there's a condition to treating them properly, and that's not valuing what they bring to the table. And I don't know how offended I would be if the roles were reversed on that. You know, so we need to learn to love God's type of love, which I don't know if you have something just yet, but we're gonna go over the love chapter in the Passion, because we really, as a church, we need to learn that. And that's unconditional love, not just towards your spouse or your kids, but we need to get to a point where we're unconditionally loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, and dare I say, those that don't know Jesus yet. Mm-hmm. Because what better way to draw somebody into the family of God than to treat them like they were already family. Yes. that is where we need to be.
Yes, and you know, the fruits of the Spirit we used to teach the kids all the time, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness too, gentleness, and self-control. These are the characteristics of God. This is how he Amen. Acts towards us. This is how we are supposed to be acting towards people. And I wrote down self-control as one of my definitions tonight because it's restraint exercised over one's own impulses, emotions, or desires. When you're offended, you're out of control. Immediately. You're immediately out of control. And I can say from my perspective, which that's also one of those definitions, from my perspective, women, because he's telling on himself about how he would act, I'm going to have to tell on myself. And so there's times if you do not guard your heart, if you're not in the Word and you've built yourself up and guarding yourself from being offensive, it's not always taking on offense. It's being offensive. And because we'll just pop off at the mouth and we'll just say whatever because we're not guarding our tongues, we're not holding it, Amen. We're not exercising the fruits of the Spirit that God gave to us. And in that, there, this actually...
I should not have amened that.
We'll Preach talk about it, later. No. So, I think it was a couple weeks ago. I was getting ready for church. I don't remember. When I'm getting ready for church, that's like the worst time to say certain things to me because I'm trying to already lay everything down and then you're going to come at me. Don't do that. And he just walked in and he's like, babe, I'm out of chonies. Chonies, for those of you who don't know, is Spanish for underwear. And my response was instantaneous. You got hands.
And I was offended.
He was offended, but I was being offensive. It wasn't that I was trying to. It's just I'm in the middle of something, and we do that. We get so busy that we don't control ourselves. And we step out of the love of God and immediately become offensive and offended. Because in all reality, I can say I was offended that you would say, babe, I don't have chonies. How is that my problem? I don't wear them.
I hearken you back to the first thing. She is supposed to clean the laundry. And I am supposed to fold it.
I will clean it when you put it away.
It's so much easier to just iron my clothes.
It really is. I don't iron. I don't sew. That's an agreement we have. He doesn't want me to do it. It comes out really bad.
I do sew. And I do iron.
He does. And he does a really great job. He irons my clothes. But he did. He came at me and he said, babe, I don't have chonies. I don't care. At this moment, I don't care. My thing was, why did you come at me like that? Why did you say that? And when I thought about it later, because we think about it later, and you're going, well, he didn't really say it. He wasn't like, woman, wash me some chonies. I might have had a different response to that one. He just was letting me know, and I was like, how is that my problem? I don't wear your chonies. And he's like, well, I asked you yesterday. That was yesterday. You could have gently reminded me, and women do this all the time. Well, if you would have asked me in a different tone, we probably would have had a different response. And I'm telling you right now, women who, you know, you always want your husbands to know what you're thinking before it happens, we become clairvoyant when we get mad at them. Because we'll be like, we'll say something, and we know what they're going to say before they even say it. We're like, and if you're about to say this, let me just tell you. Before you open your mouth, let me explain something about yourself that you don't know yet. And it's because we're coming from a place of offense. And I do that quite often. I'm like, nope, don't say it. I know it's coming. And he's probably not, in reality, he's probably not thinking about that. He's going, I just wanted some chonies.
It was.
Yeah, it's not easy. A big deal, but for me, I was not having it.
So not that I took note, but I was just on my way to work, and she was getting ready for work, and all of a sudden, it's my fault that I hadn't washed my own clothes. What? Are you kidding me right
yes.
now? And I didn't say anything because obviously her response told me. Just walk away.
And that is self-control. That is him exercising self-control.
Don't say a word. Now, you can later on, which is what I did, because offense, and it's not that I don't honor or value Heather, but out of offense, right, I straight up passive-aggressive said something to her. And it was basically, I was saying, hey, this is what I need to do. And I said, don't worry, I've got hands, right? And super, that's my, if I had a superpower, passive aggressiveness might be it. We were talking about that at practice the other night. Let me ask you a question. That's Heather, automatically that sets her off. If you want to see her offended, have somebody do something that I don't think is right, and I'll look at them, I get a face, I'm sure, and I go, let me ask you a question. Does this make sense to you? Heather turns beet red and walks away. Because she knows it's a schooling for whoever is on the other side of that question, and I'm getting better at it. I hardly ever ask that anymore. Thank God. But one day I'll be free from it.
I think completely. That's funny, because under self-control, part of it is countenance. That means your face. Yeah. So sometimes I'll ask Clinton, you know, what's wrong? Because for some reason, we're paranoid. What's wrong with you? Are you okay? How's everything going? Like, we want to make sure. And he'll be like, no, I'm fine. I'm happy. And tell your face. You're not showing the love of God. You look really mad.
The opposite of that for me is looking a little weird,
yes.
Like crazy. Like, so I think that just keeping a straight face is the best way. And I could be wrong, but usually if I don't have a scowl, I'm usually okay if I'm not like.
Yes, but that's not often.
When I'm just blank expression. I'm just out in the nothing box.
Yes. Well, we don't have that, so we need to know what's wrong.
Oh, that is true. Women do not have a nothing box. Men do. Thank God. It's where we go when our wife offends us. Before we get into a fight, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 in the Passion. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 in the Passion. I love this. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is large and incredibly patient. That's awesome. Love big. God's love is big. Our love should be big. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous. When blessing comes to someone else. Oh, that was one sentence. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. My mom is in just the extreme of that sentence of love. She'll hear about something good that happened to somebody else, and she'll start shaking and rejoicing and being so happy for that person. And her reaction whenever good news comes around is exemplified in that. So that if you want to learn something, that's something good to hang out with my mom, Nancy, back there. She does good on that. Love does not brag on one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place to shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. Love never takes failure as defeat. How many of you know that as human beings, there's times when we will fail in this? But we are not defeated.
Amen.
We are still victorious, even if we goof up. Yeah. Even if I pop off at the mouth at Heather, or vice versa, or I get mad at my kids, or whatever it is. I try my best when I go overboard with the kids, I do my best to go in and apologize. Mm-hmm. I make sure they know that I'm not sorry for reprimanding them, but the manner in which I did it was wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should be that way with our friends too.
Yeah.
Our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be that way when we offend God. Always willing to repent, always willing to turn from, always willing to admit when we're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that I struggled with forever, because in the past I had been very arrogant and proud. There's a lot of things that, like, I'm kind of an intelligent guy, not to boast on myself or anything like that. So there were very few times where I was wrong. Where I thought I was wrong, right? So getting me to admit to being wrong, that was really hard to do. And I'll know there was a time where I knew I was wrong, dead to rights, knew it, but convinced myself otherwise. No, wait, no, I might have been wrong in this situation, but if I carry the two, I'm right. That, simple as that, right? Mm-hmm. We can't be that way, because then we're boastful, we're proud, and we're not walking in love. We're easily offended. We have strife if we're easily offended, because anger comes. And bitterness, being mad about getting tripped at the egg hunt, things like that. And then you worry. Mm-hmm. How many of you have missed out on an opportunity because of worry, because something you were offended at previously? Mm-hmm. Not that the egg hunt makes it, I know the egg hunt thing is a joke. But if you got offended because you were tripped on accident at the egg hunt, maybe you never participated. No, it was too wild last time. I got tripped. I'm not going to do it, you know. And you miss out on the mm-hmm. Home Depot gift card. And how many of you know Home Depot gift cards are awesome, right?
Yeah, I wrote on here, offense, if you are unguarded, will immediately snatch your blessing right out of your hands. Mm. When you're offended, it's an instantaneous stop in your whole life, everything. The what you're thinking, how you're acting.
Uh-huh.
And it is an action. Offense is an action because you react to it. You could be believing God for something. He could be handing it to you, and you might as well have dropped it on the floor because you stopped moving towards it. That would be like me trying to hand Clinton something, and he got mad, turned his eyes off God, and looked the other way. Like, what did you just say?
Did you just drop the phone?
I did, but you can buy me a new one. That's his superpower, electronics, buying them for Heather, even when I don't want them. But I think he just buys them for himself secretly.
Heather got a new TV. No, I'm just joking.
Actually, he got a brand new TV. Don't go there. I had to carry it all by myself.
You're welcome.
You cannot show the love of God to people reacting out of offense. You just can't. I'm going to talk to them.
I was in another city, and they were on sale here. That's like... I was
it.
In the truck and made you carry it into the house.
I did. I had to put it in the truck. I am very blessed to have a truck. It says silly boys, trucks are for girls on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thanks, Reed.
But I don't know if you noticed, but I'm pretty short. That's where I wear high heels. And I had to pick these TVs up, and people are just watching. And I'm trying not to get offended. I'm like, y'all are watching me try to put this TV into this truck that's like this tall. And you're just watching me do it. And I get on the phone. I got your TVs.
I was not the person watching. Like, but so when I was crippled, so Heather has always been way smaller than me. And when I was crippled, I think I was a little bit bigger than I am now. And I just leaned on the shopping cart. I didn't like walking with my cane through the grocery store, but I would just lean on a shopping cart. I couldn't lift anything. I could barely walk at this time. And so my 90-pound wife is picking up 50-pound dogs, bags of dog food, and I'm just pointing. Not that one. It's that one. And Pete, the stares, oh my gosh. People are like, this, I can't believe this guy. Look, giving me the dirty, like, stink eye as they walk by. Disapproving of me, being offended for Heather. Not knowing, but how many, like, we're all guilty of that. We're all, oh my God. We don't know that person's story. Guys, seriously, I don't know how many of you were here when I came here. I walked with a cane when I came here. God healed me, but there was a whole lot of time where I wasn't healed.
Yeah.
And so in walking with a cane, and I did. I hated carrying my cane. I hated coming off as weak. But for real, and people, oh, the stink eye. So don't always judge the guy who's not picking up his bags of dog food.
Yes,
making his wife load televisions into the truck.
It really wasn't heavy. It was just the fact that I had to do it.
And it was awkward because they're oblong.
They are. My wingspan is not that long. But in reply to that, you got to be very careful that you're not borrowing somebody else's offenses. Uh-huh. A lot of the times we'll sit there, and I've been guilty of it myself. Somebody comes up and they tell you something about somebody else that you had no problem with, and all of a sudden you're offended at that person. Why? You borrowed their offense. Because you were guarding yourself from being offensive, but you weren't guarding yourself from the people around you that the devil will use to put you in a position out of love. So you got to be very watchful. That's why the Bible says to guard yourself and watch yourself and take no thought saying. When you borrow somebody else's offense, you're taking a thought saying, because now you're repeating the lie that the devil told that person about one of God's kids.
Uh-huh.
Because how dare us come before God with a complaint about somebody else when we are not perfect.
Amen.
Because I am far from perfect. I'm a little bit better than Clinton, but I am far from perfect.
I ain't even going to complain about that one. She is.
Well, an example to that, if you go to Luke 15:11, it tells the story about a certain man who had two sons. Some of you, it's the prodigal son for those of you that don't know yet. And it says, there was a certain man who had two sons. So this is in the Amplified Classic. And the younger of them said to his father, do you need some?
I need your microphone. Just for a second.
I'm not as loud as Clinton, sorry.
I'm just going to put that wherever. It'll work. That one too. Good thing I'm not trying to do this inconspicuously. Is this my first time? Goodness. Ha-ha, I got it. Green light, go.
That reminds me of the joke, how many men does it take to screw on the light bulb? One woman? Just kidding. Good job.
Read your scriptures.
You did a great job.
Thanks.
Oh, that's so funny. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the part of the property that falls to me. And he divided the estate between them. Notice the dad didn't get offended. I have been guilty of this. If my kids ask me for something, you need to get a job.
Ireland.
Yes. I don't care. You know, you got hands. Just kidding. But it doesn't say that the dad got offended. It says that he divided it. He didn't take time to get defensive.
Offended.
Yeah, defensive or offended. He just immediately did it. Now, for most of us, that would have offended us. How dare you ask for what I have worked my entire life for and just for me to hand it over to you without a by your leave? That would have brought offense. And he divided the estate between them. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered up all that he had journeyed, all that he had, and journeyed into a distant country, and there he wasted his fortune in recklessness and loose from restraint living. So he had no self-control. Don't you think the dad should have been offended then? Yeah. Now, not only did you ask for everything that I've worked for, but then you just threw it all down the drain on whatever you wanted. That could have brought offense. And the Bible are lessons. I believe God spoke in parables so that we would take time out and think about it. I mean, honestly, how many times do you spend during the day trying to figure out your husband or wife and what they're thinking and why they are not understanding you before you think about what God's trying to get to you through his word? And when he had spent all he had, a mighty famine came upon that country, and he began to fall behind and be in want. So he went and glued himself upon one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his field to feed the hogs. So now he's brought low. And he would have gladly fed and filled his belly with the carob pods that the hogs were eating. He would have gladly eaten pig slop, essentially. But they could not satisfy his hunger, and nobody gave him anything better. Because, again, that ties into offense. You being offended is on you. Oftentimes, the other person doesn't even realize they've offended you. That's why it's poison that you're drinking and expecting them to die from. You're the one that's offended, not them. Then he came to himself. Oh, then when he came to himself, which means he finally woke up and realized that he had done something wrong. He said, how many hired servants of my father have enough food and even food to spare, but I am perishing, dying here of hunger. He changed his way of thinking. He changed his perspective. When we get an offense, it's a point of view. It's our perspective of something. And the definition of perspective, the kids' version, is the angle or direction in which a person looks at an object. How are you looking at God's children? What is your perspective on it? Because here, the son changed his perspective. He understood. He came to understanding. He got wisdom and revelation. He said, I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants. So at this point, he realizes he's done something wrong, and he's willing to just not even be one of his father's sons. He looked at himself shamefully, and it does say that. While he was still, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants. He doesn't even think he's worthy anymore. So he got up and came to his own father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with pity and tenderness for him. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him fervently. So the dad wasn't offended when the son asked for everything that the father had worked for. Right there it shows self-control. He didn't allow the devil to lie to him and tell him stories about his own child. And then the love came in. And he said, regardless of what you've done, it doesn't matter. I'm going to love you anyways.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's good.
And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I no longer deserve to be recognized as a son of yours. How many times do we come before Jesus with that attitude? And that's pride.
Amen.
And that's offense, because we've allowed the world to soak into us more than we've allowed God to. We're about to celebrate Easter and remember what Jesus did for us. Well, if you think about it, Jesus had every opportunity to be offended. More so than any of us sitting here.
Amen.
When he was going to the cross, it was the Pharisees, right? Pharisees, yes.
Sadducees, all the religious people of
Israel. So all the religious people were saying horrible things, wanting to crucify him. And then other people who didn't even know Jesus were borrowing their offense and joining in. Because that's what offense does. It wants to bring everybody in with it to make something a big to-do. It's the devil's way of getting you out of the blessing of God. That's all it is. It is a trick. It is a poison. It is a taint of the devil. And if anybody had a reason in the way that we think to be offended, it would have been Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't get offended. Not only did he not get offended, but he was willing to lay down his life for the very people that were offending him. Yet we come to church or we go about our daily lives and we get offended by everything. The person that almost stops before they turn right. And I say that because that is what I'm working on. And we allow that to happen on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to soak ourselves more in the Word and take what God's saying in his lessons, how much happier, joyful, and blessed would we be? And in the beginning, which scripture was it that was talking about great peace? You cannot
Psalm 119, have... 165.
What was it?
Psalm 119, 165.
You cannot have great peace. You cannot live in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a little song that the kids sing and they go, woo-hoo! You can't live in that if you're constantly being offended by the world.
Amen.
Offense is an emotional reaction to an outer action, but we are not moved by such things. We are not supposed to be moved by the world.
No.
The Bible gives many, many examples of why not to do that. Because the father obviously was rich, right? To be able to give that kind of inheritance to both of his sons.
Yes. Amen.
If he was offended at his son, do you think that would have continued to happen? You can't live in the blessing and be offended by it.
Amen.
Offense blinds you and binds you from the revelation and wisdom of God. If your eyes are constantly on what the world is telling you and deceiving you about, you won't get wisdom or revelation.
Amen.
If you're asking God to take things off of your plate and open your eyes, he's going to ask you to let some things go. And it does say in the Bible to have aught against your brother, or if you do, apologize.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Why would it say that if it's not what we were meant to do? I take the Bible at its word.
Amen.
As the word. I don't change it. I don't twist it to serve my needs or what I think it should be. I take it at what it says. And it's very important. Jesus did a very important thing for you.
Amen.
The very least we can do is learn about him. Seek his love, his wisdom, his guidance to be able to continue on. You can't do the works of Jesus if you can't talk to people because you don't like them.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I've been there.
Amen. I don't know about y'all, but she was reading the parable about the prodigal son, and it said carob pods was what they feed pigs. Do you know that's what they make fake chocolate out of?
Yeah.
I'm offended by that. So if you're in the summer slim down, please do not be eating carob pods because it's pig slop. That's nasty. Goodness.
And if you like to eat tortillas, pick something else on the list, please. Like on there
it's
is
so
like, I have pick your own weakness. Well, if you're mad about that, that's probably your weakness.
You should probably not eat that.
You might need to lay it down. You're very offended by the tortillas. I'm not going to name names.
Heather, don't say it. No, I'm just joking. So all this is to say we need to do a better job as the body of Christ in loving. So that a way we can bring other people into the fold, bring other people into the family, and be happy when they get here. I heard somebody describing church recently as awkward. It's a social awkward social club, right? Not this church. But they had actually decided to stop attending organized religious gatherings because it's awkward. When you walk in the door the first time, it's like the greeters have to be there. Otherwise, people would just walk away, right? Now, it wasn't anybody in here. It was a video I was watching, and the guy was describing why he stopped doing organized religion. And I think organized religion is terrible. We shouldn't have religion. We should have our relationship with Jesus. And that relationship brings us into a family, and we gather just like dinner time, right? But to, if from an outsider's perspective, as the associate pastor, as anybody in leadership in the church, we should never want folks to feel awkward when they come in. We want them to feel welcomed, not like shunned, not, oh, here's a new person. Ugh. Hopefully we don't come off that way. I don't think we do. We're pretty solid, I think. I believe so. But let's be loving to each other and to the people we're around. Anything else?
Yeah, you really should be rejoicing with God's people. Take time to do it. And don't get so offended when somebody doesn't realize you're happy about something. Because there's oftentimes, I joke about Clinton with his, I almost said his face, but that sounds terrible. His reaction, the faces he gives off. But how many times do we walk around that way? How many times are we unapproachable? And so we've inadvertently offended someone because we're too busy. The love of Jesus should shine forth, especially when you're in church. You Amen. Should not look like you want to mow everybody down and hurry up and get home. And sometimes it takes work. It takes work to control your mouth, control your thoughts, and your actions. But it's very important to do so. In Luke 15:7, it says, "Thus I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one, especially wicked person who repents, changes his mind, abhorring his errors and misdeeds, and determines," which means purposes in his heart, "to enter upon a better course of life than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance."
Amen. Hallelujah.
People need to be saved. They really do. They need Jesus. I have a lot of family members who are not saved. It changes your course of life. Amen. When you learn to love people. And a long time ago, I didn't. I grew up, we'll say roughly, I could not stand people. And I'm slowly getting myself past, because when you don't like people, you don't like to be in a crowd of people. Because, I mean, honestly, if you don't like people, the last thing you want to do is be surrounded by them. Oftentimes, because I didn't agree with what they were saying, but that's just my opinion. When you're offended, it's just an opinion. And you're offended by somebody else's opinion. So get in the Word. Find the truth. If you want to be surrounded by truth, it's right there. Amen. Ready, willing, able for you to answer all your questions and concerns.
Amen.
And it's your way out.
Amen. Anything from you guys? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You want to close? You want me to close? Mm-hmm. I will close. Go ahead and bow your heads with me. Father God, we thank you for the word tonight, Lord. I ask that you would use it to go forth, Lord, that it would continue to resonate in people's hearts, Lord God, and that if necessary, that it would bring about life change in their lives. We thank you, Father God, for this wonderful, beautiful night that you've given us. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. I believe it's, yeah,